Okay, welcome back again to episode 11 of Addiction and Redemption. Again, my name is Dave Keenest, brought to you by Keenest Coaching. We're going to dive back into it, but first, before I dive into telling you some of the gnarliest shit that I've ever said and that you've ever heard, make a quick gratitude list, or just think, make a mental list. Think of five things that you're grateful for. Just stop and ask yourself right now, what are five things that I'm grateful for? What am I grateful for? I'm grateful for the waves that I get to ride every day here in Southern California. I'm grateful for you for listening. I am grateful for the delicious lunch I had. I'm grateful for an amazing Honda Accord that just rocks. And I'm grateful to be alive telling this story. So there's five things. Think of five things for yourself. And I just gonna kind of continue on with the story. I mentioned in the last episode how I met this guy Black, and he would get me really good shit when I went down to the West Side. Probably said the West Side a lot, but whatever. He would get me really good shit when I went downtown, and so it kind of progressed like that. By now it's like spring of 2006, and I've got a job to look forward to, and that job is teaching English in Japan. I leave, I believe, May 5th or 6th or 7th. And so it's, by this point, it's like April. And it was one of those early springs in Chicago when it was really nice. And by this point, I'm using heroin just about every day. And I'm still partying and drinking, but not nearly as problematically as I was in the, you know, in the early winter when I first got back from Colorado, because I got this new shit. And this new shit, this heroin, it's not really too problematic yet. It's just making me feel good, and it's helping me prepare to go to Japan, and it's helping me get my shit together, and it's helping me have better relationships with my families and my friends. And I actually even had, like, this girlfriend. I started dating this girl named Megan, this really pretty girl. She was a lot younger than me, or not a lot younger than me, but handful of years younger than me, and she just kind of liked me, and so we were hanging out and having a good time. And I was actually substitute teaching at the school that I went to high school at, so Glenbard West. I'm substitute teaching now. Mind you, I'm high on heroin the whole time. I'm always high, and I'm still getting by on, like, you know, I'm getting paid too, so I, like, have money, and I'm actually getting by on, like, you know, $20 a day worth of heroin, or maybe even $20 every 2 days worth of heroin. And it's April. Yeah, it's past my, I guess that would have been my 31st birthday. So I'm 31 years old at this point. And things are actually going very good, except that I'm addicted to heroin without realizing it. And I actually went back to visit Colorado here. I got a plane ticket to go visit Colorado. It was like a birthday present. And this is when I started to realize I had a real fucking problem, because things were going well for me in Chicago because I was high all the time. But when I flew back to Colorado, and now my connections are gone in Colorado, so I don't know where to score as easily as I used to be able to. And all of a sudden, the alcoholism came back, right? So you take away that heroin, and oh, I forgot. Yeah, that's right. I'm a full-blown alcoholic. I kind of forgot about that because I've been doing so much heroin. And this is what I was talking about in the last episode, or maybe in the last two. This is how the devil works. Makes you think there's no problem. Makes you think everything's fine. Makes you think you're going to be just A-okay. So all of a sudden, I'm back in Colorado, and I'm waking up in the morning. I was staying at my brother's old house. My brother wasn't even in town, but I was staying at his house. And all of the sudden, like, I'm waking up in the morning and the liquor store doesn't open till 11. And I'm like, shit, that liquor store better fucking open. And I'm back in the old bar, the Trailhead Tavern, where I used to party for all those years. But I'm there at like 11 in the morning. I'm there the second it opens. And I'm there, I'm not even eating anything. I'm just drinking. And I'm like hammered by early, not even mid-afternoon, early afternoon. Right. And so what happens when I'm in Colorado? I figured out a way to score. I called up one of my old connections and he gets me some shit. And all of a sudden I'm not drinking so much and I'm just having fun with the old crew. And they're like, super Dave, how you been? And I'm telling everybody about how excited I am to go to Japan. And it's all normal again. And this is just how it works. Now, this wasn't heroin. This is actually the OxyContin, but it's all the same shit, really, once you get to a certain point. And so it's just sort of the devil at work again. You know, the devil is playing these tricks on me, and I get back to Chicago, and Yeah, just kind of like it was a mad dash to get ready to go to Japan. Now, this is where things just take a really evil turn. That's the only thing I would, that's the only word I would use to describe what happened next, because the days leading up to Japan, I was getting higher and higher and higher, and I was starting to rely more and more on heroin. Now, I remember telling myself, okay, I got to stop this shit before I go, right? I need to quit doing these drugs before I go and get over the withdrawal. And so I would try to not do it. And then what starts to happen is for the first time in my life, I'm getting physically very ill from it. So when I don't have it first thing in the morning, all of a sudden I'm throwing up. Like, and it's just a really unpleasant way to puke. As if puking isn't bad enough, it's like, it's a particularly awful way to throw up, and you can't sleep without it. And so I'm like, okay, well, I need to get over this before I go. But okay, well, I'm sick today, so I'll just go get one more, and then I'll try tomorrow. And so you know, gonna start tomorrow, like the Jane's Addiction song. You know, just putting stuff off to the next day, and the day that I'm leaving is getting closer and closer and closer. Now, before I left, a couple days before I left, I went to this doctor, the initial doctor, that the psychiatrist I was seeing from time to time, and I was like, well, listen, I'm traveling to Japan, and he thinks I got my shit together, because I show up and I'm all happy. Like, I went to him before and I was all depressed. I show up, I'm all happy, but what's really happening is I show up and I'm all high. And he's just like, I'm so glad to see that you've gotten your shit together and that you're going on a new adventure. And here's some Ambien. Here's a couple of prescriptions. So he just writes me this big old prescription for Ambien. I think I got some pills for my sister also, some like Valium or Klonopin or something. So my plan is, you know, I'll get on the plane for Japan and I'll have these Ambien pills. And what will happen is, as soon as the dope wears off, like I'll at least have some Ambien to help me sleep, and I'll get over heroin withdrawal as I'm working this new job teaching English in Japan. This is what I'm telling myself. This is what I'm actually, I believe this in my deepest heart of hearts, that this is what's going to happen, that I'm going to get over there and I'm just going to use this Ambien to sleep it off, and it's going to be fine. And it didn't go this way. So the morning that I'm supposed to leave, I actually didn't come home the night before. My parents all worried about me. And I had slept at this girl, Megan. I would slept at her house and just kind of passed out. And I think we did some blow the night before. And I was hanging out with my friend Ray and her. And I was all fucked up. I got really drunk that night, too. And I had two bags of heroin left. And I basically got on the plane. I snuck these two bags of heroin on the plane, or I did them right before I got on the plane, thinking, like, it's going to be great, sweet, you know? And what happens is I got on the plane, and they're serving free cocktails. I got these, mind you, I have these pills that the doctor gave me as well. They're serving free cocktails for whatever reason. It's like 9 in the morning. I'm leaving for Japan for like an 11-hour flight or whatever it was. I don't even remember. And so I'm like, sure, I'll take a cocktail, just thinking like, new chapter of my life. Of course I'll have a drink. You know, give me a Bloody Mary, make it a double, you know. And I'm still high. And all of a sudden we get to 30,000 feet, and it's like 2 or 3 hours later, and that dope wears off. And it wears off in a major way. And all of a sudden, I'm at 30,000 feet, and the heroin wore off, and there's no place to go to get any more. And it was just this feeling of dread, like, oh, shit, that shit's gone. My love affair, that thing that I loved more than that beautiful girl I was dating, is gone. Gone. Right? It's like, okay, well, it's cool because I got these cocktails and I got these pills. So what happens is, I was half drunk when I got on the plane. I start taking some pills, thinking, well, it's cool because I got 10 hours ahead of me. I didn't have 10 hours. I had like 8 or 7. And I keep drinking, and then all of a sudden they cut me off, and I'm still drinking. I'm like going in the back and stealing the bottles and taking the pills, and then all of a sudden I just wake up, and I'm in this room, and I don't know how I got to the room. I was just in this room, and this room is the hostel where we were supposed to stay before they actually transported us to our teaching assignments. So I'm kind of on the clock, and what happens when I woke up that day or evening or afternoon or whenever it was, like 36 hours had passed, and I had no recollection of what happened. So I essentially woke up out of a blackout in a foreign room in Japan, and I'm laying in this bed. It's really hard to talk about. I'm laying in this bed, and there's talking in the room next door. And the people talking in the room next door to me are my new colleagues. They're from all over the world. They're from Canada, the U.S., and I think one was from Australia. And we're all these idealists, people in their late 20s, mid-20s, early 30s, who have decided to take an overseas adventure. And I had made quite the impression. And I had been in a blackout, and I didn't remember what had happened, but this one guy told me, and apparently I was just as big of a shit show as you could ever possibly be when I got off that plane. And I have very vague recollection of what happened. This was the single most terrifying experience of my entire life. Because not only am I waking up out of blackout in Japan, and there are people over on the other side of this wall talking probably about me a great deal, and not only has 36 hours gone by, but I'm jonesing for heroin in the worst way possible. So I'm in full-blown heroin withdrawal, and I'm stuck in Japan, right, on a year-long teaching contract. So I will pick up in the next episode. Thanks again for listening. This has been episode 11, I think. It'll all be in order in the iTunes anyway, of Addiction and Redemption. Again, my name is Dave Keenest, brought to you by Keenest Coaching. God bless and have a beautiful day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.